So isn't meekness, in one sense, not insisting on one's own rights? This is often a problem in us. We have to admit this. It's a problem in us. It's a problem in assemblies. Why do you have conflicts often? Because somebody's insisting that they're right and you're wrong. And it's also being not assuming to be anything in yourself. And so it's a very lovely character. You see this in the Lord Jesus. If there was anyone great, it was him. But when you met him, you met one who would get down and wash the feet of the disciples, one that would get down where the leper was and touch the leper, the one who would humble himself. It's so different than the religious world that we live in and all around us, that is always exalting man, always trying to exalt man into a position. So it's essential that we understand this.
It's interesting that the Spirit of God, through the Apostle Paul, reminds him they're the church of God. They were a bunch of carnal Christians, but they were the church of God. They were sanctified. Sanctified, these people who were saved from all those sins. Well, Paul was there 18 months preaching the gospel at Corinth. But they were sanctified, and each of us had been sanctified once and for all by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And why we're sanctified is to join the Lord Jesus in praising God the Father. That's why we're sanctified. But now that they were in Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ, there's a difference. Christ Jesus is mentioned 49 times by Paul. That means the risen, ascended, glorified man. He is Jesus Christ. Of course he is. His breaking bread name is Lord Jesus. He still is Jesus. But Christ Jesus, there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The resurrected, ascended, glorified man. That's what we're in, and in him. So the apostle reminds them of the positive things before he lowers the boom and says you're fleshly and you're carnal. And I think in the second epistle they are in a better state, except some possibly were not, because they accused Paul of walking, doing things in the flesh.
We might explore this word gentleness as well. We've explored the word meekness, but the word gentleness, it is a little different than the meekness part, right?
Well, give us something, Bill.
Well, I was thinking of examples in the Lord's life where he displayed this forbearance or gentleness. Think of the occasion with Mary and Martha, and the gentle way he spoke to Martha, the gentle way he steered her priorities by saying, Mary has chosen the better part.
The good part.
And because Martha's part wasn't bad, but the good part. And the way he dealt with the disciples, you know, in John 14, when they were asking him so many questions, and have I not been with you so long, and you ask me to show you the Father? You know, the way he spoke with them is forbearing. He's gentle with them. So this is another attribute that Paul beseeches on them, and how he was with them. He said, when I'm away from you, I write boldly, but when I'm in your presence, I'm humble among you. The expression mean, or how we have it here,
base,
I'm humble among you. That is a display of the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And it's an example to us of how we are to be with one another. Often fail, but this is how we're to be, to help one another. And this is how Paul was.
And I think meekness and gentleness are part of the fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. So again, it's a reproduction of the life of Christ in each and every one of us. Amen. As the Spirit of God operates in our life. Just one point on what was said earlier about the matter of meekness. Meekness is not weakness. It is not. And meekness, it is not only that I don't insist on my right. I only insist on the right of Christ. Because there is only one right in the universe, and that's the right of Christ. I don't have any. Neither does anybody. The only rights that a believer need to maintain is the rights of Christ. Because when I do not insist on my right, does not mean that if I see something wrong, I let it go. That's not at all meekness. It is insisting on the right of Christ, but doing it in a gentle way. And that's where you see in Moses and in Paul. Yeah. In Moses, you see meekness. He was the meekest man. Mm-hmm. When they kind of challenge his leadership, when they challenge what he was doing, when they challenge his position, those who are so close to him, Aaron and Miriam, he quieted down and let the Lord took over and defended him. That is really the meekness. Mm-hmm. The gentleness, you see it in Paul. When he, in spite of what we have heard, all of the attack from those who are even close to him, false brethren, trying to add more to his bonds. How did he say, I think it was to the Thessalonian, that he was like a mother, like a nurse among you. The gentleness of trying to bear and forbear to take care of the saints of God. Sure, in Christ you have both of them.
And I think you need to emphasize very definitely the point that you're making in terms of meekness and gentleness does not mean that I am going to overlook things. I think that's so important, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here, in his meekness and gentleness, took care of his own rights when it was necessary. You remember the money changers in the temple who were desecrating the temple and taking advantage of the moment. He did not overlook that. His meekness and gentleness caused him to deal with what is right. And I think that that is the feature that's so very important that we too must emulate from the apostles' challenge to us. In the meekness and gentleness of Christ, that every right of Christ must be upheld, but it is upheld in a gracious and effective way.
These two words are combined in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where it says that every servant of the Lord should be this way. It talks about the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all, and capable of teaching the scriptures and so on. And then a little later, verse or two after that, it says that in meekness, some translations say humility, but it's the same word as here, in meekness, correcting or disciplining those who oppose what the scriptures say. And so, just as a further illustration of what we're saying, meekness is not quietness. Moses was meek, and yet who had more authority in the entire Old Testament, perhaps, as far as the children of God go in particular, than Moses did? Paul has authority. Timothy has authority. The Lord Jesus, we've already mentioned, he says, I am meek and lowly in heart, in the reference in Matthew 11. And the one in Timothy is going to correct those who are wrong. The one in Timothy is not going to, 2 Timothy 2, is not going to just sit back and watch those who are wrong go off the deep end and lead others astray. He's going to correct. She's going to correct and say, this is wrong. The scriptures say this, but it's done in a way that restrains the, maybe we could say, the passions of authority that would lead us in the wrong direction. Moses, when he struck the rock and yelled at the people and called them rebels, that clearly is not something he did in the characteristic of meekness. But in these other characteristics, he did. Meekness and gentleness, they are, meekness tends to emphasize that, and sorry, just one other thought on the servant. Even a servant, therefore, has some responsibility. So it's not just someone who has high-level authority. It's any one of us who have responsibility. We exercise our responsibilities with meekness by restraining the things that would excite our natural passions. And the gentleness is the characteristic, the touch, the light touch of how things are applied. Meekness keeps us back from sinning by overextending our authority in a brash or brusque or insulting way to someone else. And gentleness gives the pleasant character of the interaction to the one that we're speaking with.